Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to talk about compromising with the devil. And the problem is, most of us do. We do compromise with the devil. And the devil has many tools in his toolbox to try and attack us. And a lot of times, if we have our defenses in place, if we have our armor on, he's going to try and find some other weakness because he can't attack us full front assault. So he uses things in his toolbox, and his toolbox is probably about as big as an avid fisherman's tackle box. You know, all these little things in there, and they're very proud of what they have. I got this and this and this and this, and the list just goes on and on. Devil's toolbox, he uses anything he can. And we see that throughout the scriptures. And we need to learn lessons from the past. You know, Romans 15:4 tells us the things written aforetime were written for our instruction. And so when we look at that, we can see some of the tools that Satan uses. And one thing we learn about, whatever he did back then, it worked for him then, it works for him now. So devil, kind of like God, does not change. I mean, the Lord does not change. His ways are established, and they're written in heaven, and Satan does not change either. So we're going to learn some lessons from the past, and we see some of this. And we'll remember in Exodus chapter 8, verse 10. God had sent Moses down to Egypt to gather his people and take them out of the land of Egypt. Now, he starts off by coming in there. The Lord our God wants us to go and worship him in the wilderness. So we need to go do that, and then we'll come back. That was pretty much the first thing he said. But Pharaoh started having objections to that. Now, we understand God had his hand in this upon Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh was going to be doing these things, but the purpose of it was God was going to show his power to this nation, to this Pharaoh, and to his own people. He was going to show them this power. So our story is going to be involved in the conversation between what Moses said, this is what the Lord wants, and how Pharaoh counteracted that. And all it is was a matter of compromises. See, the devil is a great compromiser. And if he can get us to compromise the truth, he is well pleased with that accomplishment. He doesn't care if most of what we do is the truth. He really doesn't care as long as we're doing one or two things that are not the truth. Then he has us. He's got us. He's got us under his power. And we are going to be lost. And that's what we need to know about Satan. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The only thing we need to know about Satan is he doesn't want you to go to heaven. I mean, once you understand that, then everything that he does is to keep you out of there. He'll let you believe the truth as long as you don't apply the truth. And he'll let you understand what truth is as long as you say, but I have other interests that are more important. He doesn't care. And so we're going to see some of these things today. When Moses was getting ready to lead them out of Egyptian bondage to the land of promise, the devil tried to make some compromises with them. Of course, we recognize, yes, it was Pharaoh actually getting them to make these compromises. But Pharaoh, in this case, was working for Satan. Just like the serpent was working for Satan when he tempted Eve and talked to Eve, says, no, you'll not certainly die. So Satan comes in many forms. Satan is in the form of some of your family members. Satan is the form of your neighbors. Satan is the form of your bosses or your employees or co-workers. Satan comes in all forms. And we just have to recognize that. And if anybody wants to get us to leave the truth of God's word and accept something different, I mean, that's Satan at work. And so we're going to see this. We can learn a great deal by studying these compromises that were offered to Moses. So we're going to look at a few of them. See, the same compromise is being offered to God's people in this day and age. And as we go through, yep, that's right, people have tried that on me. And you're going to say, yep, people tried that on me. So let's see what these are. See, the compromise of remaining in the world. Now, some people, they're going to stay in the world anyway because they like the world. They don't want to leave. They don't want to believe in God. They're just going to continue doing that. Well, we know that. But some people say, but I need to do this. See, Pharaoh or the devil was willing for them to worship, but only if they would do it in the land. See, Moses said, we need to go out into the wilderness and worship our God. And so, don't go out of the land of Egypt. Go to just a secluded place here in the land of Egypt. And of course, just don't go out of the country. And so in our day, the devil has no objection to us worshiping as long as we do not do it in the Lord's church. See, how many people do you know say, okay, I can go out to the redwoods and I worship God there? Or I go out by the lake and I worship God there? Or I just sleep in my bed and I worship Him while I'm sleeping? I mean, people do that. They'll tell you they can have a connection. They have a connection with God. And I'm sure we hear that all the time, just like the phrase, I have a personal relationship with God. When you want to translate that, I do what I want to do and He's going to like it. That's all it comes down to. And so, as long as we don't do it in the Lord's church, doesn't matter. Now, if we want to go to a denomination, no problem. Go right ahead and go. Because as we discussed in our study of denominationalism, you can't go to heaven through a denomination. You cannot do that. It's only in the Lord's church you can go to heaven. So if you want to go worship God in some other place, hey, that's fine with Satan. He has no problem with that at all. He tries to get deluded people to think that it doesn't really make any difference where we worship. We go to the Church of Christ, we go to the Catholic Church, go to the Baptist, go whatever church it is. It really doesn't make a difference. Of course, that's one of the errors of denominationalism that we discussed in our study. See, God cannot be worshipped acceptably in any denomination. This is something that people... Well, wait, we can still worship God. We may be in the wrong place, but we can still worship God. That's like saying, well, I can go to the strip joint and watch what's going on and still worship God. Really? How does that work? It doesn't work. And we know that. It's like going to a bar and sitting there and getting drunk and, oh, yeah, I'm connecting with God here. I mean, some people use these type things. And, of course, as we have studied, God cannot be worshipped acceptably in any denomination, because they reject Him for the most part. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So yes, people must be worshiping in the truth, John 4:24. And it really does make a difference how we worship God. A lot of people say, well, it really doesn't, as long as your heart's in the right place, or if you have the good intentions or whatever. No. We have to do it His way, the way He suggests. Worship according to the commandments of men turns out to be vain worship. And what does vanity do? It's nothing. It's like striving after the wind. Have you ever tried that? Have you ever seen the wind blowing? No, you haven't. You haven't seen the wind blowing, but yet you can see the effect of the wind by watching the leaves on the trees and the leaves on the ground. And sometimes, well, I'm going to go chase that leaf that's running across the ground. You ever see somebody try and catch a leaf? Not easy. I mean, that stuff goes here and there, tossed to and fro. When you worship according to the way man wants you to worship, which in effect is the way Satan or the devil wants you to worship, it is vanity. And it produces nothing of any value. So how did Moses meet this compromise? He said, no, just don't leave the land. Moses said they would sacrifice as the Lord would command. Exodus 8:26-27. We will leave this place. We will go to the place where our God shows us. And we will worship Him. That was Moses' final stand on this matter. So you see, we better take a stand, lest we sacrifice the abomination of the sectarians to the Lord our God. If we do the compromises of man in our worship, that doesn't do any good. I mean, there's some things, well, you think, but they're so religious over there. I want to be like them. Well, being religious is one thing. Being right is what we're supposed to be. So there's a lot of people out there that are religious, and they say all sorts of things. They talk a lot of language, which, yes, is appropriate and good language, but they're meaning it in the wrong way. So we have to be very careful there. See, Moses was not going to offer just any old sacrifice to the Lord any way he wanted to. I mean, they had specific instructions on what to do. After the law was established, they had certain places where they could build their altars. They had certain places where they could take their sacrifices for the offering. People just couldn't build their own altar and then sacrifice upon it. That wasn't allowed. And of course, we read a lot of times they did. And what happened? The Lord was displeased with that. And so the Lord had specific places where these people were supposed to worship. And that's what Moses was saying. We're just not going to give them anything. We're going to do it right. So, do not offer to God in worship that which he has not authorized. Here's another thing a lot of people do. They do things that he hasn't authorized. So we must be guided by the commands of the Lord, because he is the one to be worshipped and to be pleased with the worship. See, there's another problem here. A lot of times, we as humans, we worship to please ourselves. A lot of times. And a lot of people do. They please themselves just so they can feel good about themselves. But our purpose in coming here is to worship Almighty God. Give him the honor and the glory. Not seek for it for ourselves. You know, we talked about last week about the dogs, about the show dogs. They want the glory, and they show off about that. No. God is the one to be worshipped. God is the one who we are to try and please. Sadly, in our world, as we made the comment in class, a lot of people are trying to say, well, in order to please the people, you've got to make compromises with the truth. Don't preach the truth so hard. Don't tell it like it is. Just kind of sugarcoat it. Things like that. All right. What about the compromise of being lukewarm? We read about that in one of the churches of Galatia. God says, I wish that you were cold or hot, but since you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. See, in Exodus 8:28, when Pharaoh saw that Moses was determined to go, he said, only ye shall not go very far away. See, don't leave the land. Next thing, don't go very far away. So, how familiar does that sound? Well, it really does. If you have talked to people at all about Christ, then you've heard this. You've heard this stuff before. When we go into the church of our Lord, the devil does not want us to go very far. Well, if you want to get baptized, go right ahead, but don't really study, don't attend services, don't do this, don't do that, and you'll be fine. Yeah, that's what the devil says. You'll be fine. When the devil says you'll be fine, means you'll be roasting for eternity in a fiery torment. That's what it means. See, he would like for us to keep one foot at least in the world. And a lot of people have that problem. They may come to church, may talk about God, and may pray to God and sing to God and things like that. They walk out the door, they see one of their buddies, and blankety blank 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 comes out of their mouth. Because they don't want to appear to be too religious. They're afraid of that. And just any number of things we could be talking about here. See, if we must be in the church, the devil wants us to be worldly Christians. Now that's an oxymoron there. But still, as long as we have the world in our heart, he really doesn't care. So he wants us to be worldly in our thinking, to set our minds on things below instead of things above, where he told us to be setting our minds. See, he wants us to believe there is no harm in missing the assemblies. He wants us to believe there is no harm in a little innocent, immodest dress. Sometimes parents let their children go out in dress that a few years ago you would find down on the street corner in a seedy part of town. Hey, mister, come here. You remember? You know the type I'm talking about, right? Nowadays, you go to church, you can see some of the same dress, same outfits. I've seen stuff on YouTube how these people get up there. Man, it's immodest, let's put it that way. He wants us to believe there is no harm in a little social drinking. It's okay for a beer every now and then, a little drink of wine and stuff like that. Oh, it's okay, no problem. He wants us to believe there's no harm in a little gambling. Oh, I bought some lottery tickets. And we can justify it. Well, if I win, I'll give the money to the church. That's how we're supposed to justify it. And the devil wants you to do that. If the devil can get us to compromise in this, he knows very well that he has us. See, the Lord has a lot of enemies right in the church. He does. Paul talked about those enemies of the cross. They are friends of the world. They don't want to give up the world. And they get tired of the preacher harping upon them because he's trying to get them out of the world. And a friend of the world is an enemy of God. James 4:4. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. James 1:27 tells us that to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. And Titus 2 says the grace of God hath appeared unto all men, teaching us to abstain from wickedness and worldly lust. See, Christians must keep themselves out of these worldly compromising positions. And that's not hard, that's not easy to do. You have to make an effort. But so many just really don't put forth a lot of effort, but yet if they show up to church on Sunday morning, they think they've done their duty to God, and they expect a place inside the pearly gates instead of being outside those gates. Well, the devil has you right where he wants you. How about the compromise of undedicated families? In Exodus 10:8-11, again, the devil offered another compromise to Moses. Well, go now that are men and serve the Lord, for ye that did desire. Now, what he's saying is, okay, well, you can go, but just the men can go. Leave your families out of it. Don't involve your families. The men could go, but they were to leave their children, leave their wives behind, leave their property behind. And, of course, we talk about, well, Jesus said to deny everything, deny ourselves, and forsake all and to follow him. That's okay, because we don't want you as a father teaching your wife to be obedient to God. We don't want you as a father teaching your children to be obedient to God. So, devil's okay if maybe you go. He's willing to let one member of a family go to heaven if he can get the rest of them. That's what the devil does. Devil doesn't want us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as we read in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. All too often, the television spends more time raising the kids than the parents do. And we've seen that over the years. We've seen it develop. You know, years ago when I was young, I mean, 30 minutes maybe if we were lucky. Saturday morning was good because we got to watch all those cartoons. But nowadays the cartoons are getting raunchy, getting wild, wicked, promoting all sorts of deviant behavior. And parents say, oh, it's just a cartoon. Nothing wrong with that. You ever hear the language coming out of SpongeBob or Family Guy and what they talk about? How respectful they are towards God, how respectful they are towards authority. I mean, it is sickening. So Satan wants us to leave the little ones. Just leave them alone. I mean, maybe if you drag them to church, that's fine, but don't teach them at home. You teach them at home, they might learn to love the Lord. But don't teach them at home, just drag them to church. They'll get to the point where they despise church, and because it doesn't fit with all their friends and their loved ones. They are too young to go to the meeting anyway. It's, you know what, that's what some people say. Oh, I have little children, they don't need to come, they won't get anything out of it. Well, the problem is, mama's not going to get anything out of it either. Daddy's not going to get anything out of it if they leave the kids at home. They should take turns, or, you know what? Go ask the preacher, do little kids bother you? I tell you what, sometimes I've had to deal with some screaming ones, but guess what? I can talk louder if I need to. And preacher's willing to do that. Famous preacher many years ago was preaching a meeting one time. Little kid on the second row was down there doing a little car. Preacher finally got annoyed. Young man, stop that car. Right there in the middle of his sermon. Of course, that just blew everybody apart. They laughed about that. But anyway, that's one of the compromises Satan is going to do. See, it convinces us they just might distract others trying to worship. See, that's another excuse. Oh, no, if the baby's crying, that'll distract somebody else. If I have to get up and take the baby out, that'll distract somebody. So let's just not take them at all and save everybody that inconvenience. See, don't take them to Bible class. Just leave them at home to run the streets or whatever, because that's eventually what will be happening to them. If you don't take them to Bible class, if they don't learn about God, if you don't teach them, they're going to be on the streets. And what are they going to learn out there? They're certainly not going to learn anything that God wants them to know. Or maybe as they get in school, they have too much homework to do, so we leave them at home. Yeah, that excuse. And what happens? Our Bible classes diminish and they don't come. And even during break or holidays or summer vacation, they still don't come. They can't use the excuse, well, there's too much homework to do. So what excuse do they use? Sometimes they don't even offer an excuse. One person told me one time, well, people weren't coming, so I just decided not to come on Wednesday either. Just like that. Or maybe they have a ball game and they can't let the team down. You know, in this world, yeah, I know, it used to be Wednesday nights were kind of forbidden to have any sort of activities, but not anymore. So few people go to church that, well, why not have games on Wednesday night? So parents will take their kids and go to the ball game, let their kids go to the ball game, because they don't want to let the team down, when they should be coming to get an education on spiritual thoughts. Yes, if the devil can get us to compromise in this, he knows he has us. The devil doesn't want us to teach the Word of God to our children. And for a lot of people, that's pretty good, because I don't know the Word of God, so I don't really have the ability to teach my children. So what do? Well, let the world teach them. If dad and mother must study the Bible, all right. But don't bother the children. See, this is another compromise Satan's willing to do. If you want to study the Bible, you want to be saved, I can't stop that. But just don't teach your children. Maybe he might say, the Bible is too hard for them to understand. You know, as we read in our scripture reading, teach them to your children. Talk about them wherever you are. We can say, please, Lord, give us members who, like Moses, will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters. Exodus 10:9, he says that. We must realize the children of today are the church of tomorrow, and they need to be taught properly, because a lot of that has failed from many pulpits and many classes and many congregations. They have failed in those things. So they must be brought up in the faith. as Joshua said, as for me and my house, in other words, my family, we are going to serve the Lord. And that's what we need to make that commitment to do. See, we should teach them by precept and example in the way that we live, in the way that we talk, in the way that we behave, showing them the true way. See, another compromise the devil wants us to do is having undedicated livelihoods. See, the devil offers us one last compromise. He said, well, go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed behind. In other words, keep all your possessions here in the world, and you can go by yourself. If the devil can just get us to leave our stuff in our possession, he has us. See, we can go to every service, including Bible study, but do not use our possessions to advance the kingdom of heaven. That's what the devil wants. I mean, pile up the money in the bank, but do not put it in the work for the salvation of souls. You want to make a lot of money, you want to make a lot of investments, go right ahead, but don't put a lot of money in the collection plate. The devil wants you to compromise there. If the devil can get us to think this way, he has us just where he wants us. See, how did Moses meet this compromise? Moses made no compromise with Pharaoh or the devil. He said, our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. In other words, we're going to get out there and the Lord's going to say, okay, I want this as a act of worship. I want this as a sacrifice. If it's still back in Egypt, we're not going to be able to do that. So we're going to take everything. The Lord wants us to give up all for him. See, that is the spirit that will take man to heaven, by being ready to give him everything that he asks. We must lay everything we have at the feet of the Master. You've heard that phrase, lay it all at the altar. We sing a song like that. Put it all down there. And that's everything we have. That's not only my physical body, but my mind, my soul, and if necessary, the resources that I have at my disposal. All that we are is to be given as a sacrifice to the Lord. See, that's what we're supposed to do. Giving of ourselves. And that's what he's talking about there in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Talking about some brethren, they even in their poverty, they gave what they could. And they gave of themselves first unto the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Giving of ourselves to the Lord. Not just throw a few dollars in the collection plate. Well, let that take care of the souls that need it. No, we're supposed to be involved in that. Yes, it does take money to buy food and clothing and shelter. But are we really purposing in our hearts when we give on the first day of the week? I can't answer that question. You have to answer that yourself. Paul said, for if there be first a willing mind, is not accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians 8:12. It's what you purpose in your heart. That's what we're supposed to give. Brethren, the only money we are really saving is what we are putting into the work of the Lord. When you think about that, you're making an investment. That's what you're doing with our money. When it goes into this collection plate, it's an investment for what? Well, so that the church can teach and edify, and if the necessity arises, to take care of the saints. And that's really it. See, remaining in the world, not willing to give it up, being lukewarm, being undedicated, all of that will keep us out of heaven. And like I say, this is Satan's goal. He wants you out of heaven. See, do not make any compromise with the devil, because he will ensnare you and destroy your soul. He is going about seeking whom he may devour. And he's not going around, he's not going out into those dens of robbery out there and all those places where all the human lust is taking place. He's already got them. You know where Satan comes to get his victims? Right here, within us. And that's why we're commanded we need to reject him, refuse him, tell him to leave. And see, we have that power. But how many of us use that power? If you need to correct your life as a Christian or obey the gospel, please come. I mean, that's a plea we make, to believe that Jesus is the Christ, to confess your sins, repent of your sins, confess the name of Jesus, be baptized for the remission of sins, and then stay faithful. In other words, giving your life to Christ instead of only part of it. See, if you're only giving part of it, you have compromised. And don't do that. Don't make that mistake. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone does need to respond, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.